From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 252 with guest Justin Morris, recorded Tuesday, January 31st, 2012. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you are listening to Run As Radio. And with me today is Justin Morris. Justin has 7 years of enterprise IT infrastructure experience in Australia and the UK, deploying Microsoft Identity, messaging, and communications platform. He joined Modality Systems in October 2009 as a consultant designing, deploying, and configuring Microsoft Unified Communications Solutions in the UK. And he's active in the global Microsoft Unified Communications community, speaking at and running the Microsoft UC user group in London, writing about Microsoft Link on his blog, and answering questions on the Microsoft TechNet forums, and as a contributor to the Microsoft NextHop blog. He holds the MC-ITP qualifications in Windows Server, Exchange Server, and Link Server, which I think is the set you really need to be successful with Link these days.
Yeah, that's like the big three that you need to... have under your belt to be a sort of credible infrastructure guy in Link, yeah.
And I mean, without a doubt, Link and Exchange are completely intertwined. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, I mean, the two products really form like that whole unified communications platform that Microsoft have, you know. And so Link forms the real-time collaboration aspects of that, and Exchange really pulls together the whole solution with the messaging and calendaring parts of that as well.
And dealing with the identity elements, that relationship with Active Directory, all of that good stuff. And we've done a few shows on Link over the past few months, but you've done a lot of work on the mobile side of Link, because I've really not thought a lot about this. I get the idea of unified communications, but where does mobile come into play?
Yeah, so the mobility component has only really just come to life in the last sort of 2 months when we saw the new cumulative update for Link Server come online, and then everybody started jumping around and saying, hey, you know, this is a preparation for mobile, because it had been sort of everybody waiting in bated breath for months and months and months for this platform. And it was sort of everyone was sitting there thinking they were going to turn it on straight away. But then a standalone app came after that in about December. And then finally we saw the mobile clients enter into the marketplaces there. And this is a really important step for the sort of Link Server wave that's come through, because the product's been RTM'd for over 12 months now, mm-hmm. and we're looking for the mobile clients to be followed up shortly after RTM, and now they're finally here, and so they form a really integral component to the whole offering.
Well, and my question then is, of course, you've always had the PSTN gateway, so you could always call to a mobile phone anyway, but this is about going over data rather than going over dial-up?
Yeah, so this is about providing like an actual client on smartphones. So phones like your iPhone, Symbian-based phones, Android, and Windows Mobile, and having that instant messaging and presence experience that you have like on your Windows desktop,
right,
embedded into your smartphone.
Okay, so this is not just about calling. This is about presence.
Yeah, I mean, it's all underpinned by this core experience of instant messaging and presence, and then there's a voice component built under that as well.
Okay, and you said Win Mobile. Does that include Win Phone 7? Because I generally think of Win Mobile as before 7.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, yeah, it's Windows Phone like 7.5 Mango, which is the flagship for the mobile experience.
Right. Is it actually backward compatibility? Is there a Link client back for 6.5? If you're goodness knows trapped back there.
No, I think it's compatible back to 7, but 7.5 is, you know, like the best shot for
the reference.
Getting it on
okay.
Windows Phone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, I've worked with organizations that have a large 6.5 install base, typically fairly custom gear, and they're stressed because Microsoft has not replaced all the features that were in 6.5 within 7.5 yet. Its relationship with Exchange still doesn't seem to be as good, but at the same time, you're not seeing some of the new stuff come along. So this seems like the real breaking point for me is I have to move my guys up if I want to use Link.
Yeah, I mean, like, the difference between 6.5 and 7.5 is, like, worlds apart anyway.
Yeah.
If, you know, from I remember back, you know, it was clunky and everything. We had Communicator Mobile running on those old 6.5 devices, and it was just, it would drain the battery in like an hour and something, you know. So now the Link product group is taking a step back and going, okay, let's actually develop an app that is built from the ground up for smartphones.
Right.
It's battery saving and everything, you know. So when we get a new client running on 7.5 and all the other mobile platforms out there, it's built fit for purpose and it can sit in your pocket all day and not run your battery down.
But can I still can't join a domain with 7.5. Something I could do is 6.5. I still don't have the same level of administrative. And I'm putting my IT hat on here through and through. It's like, it's all well and fine that you like your phone better. Da 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 da. I need to be able to disable your phone. I need to be able to pull up, add and remove apps from it. And that stuff still hasn't come to the 7 stack.
Yeah, I mean, it started to come in maturity with Mobile Device Manager, but I think, yeah, there could be some improvements there to give some more power to IT admins.
Yeah, it's an we're in a tough time, I think, where that you're going to have to give up some features in the old way to get these admittedly excellent features in the new way. So I have not seen the Link client for the phones. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so the Link client for the mobile platforms that are out there is for Windows Phone, like we just talked about. The Google Android platforms that works across like Samsung, LG, anyone that does Android phone.
Is there a particular version of Android you need to be running?
Yeah, you need to be running, I think it's Gingerbread or Honeycomb, the way that they name their versions. So it's in like the last two iterations of Android that you need to run on that platform.
Right.
And then we've also got the ones that were sort of like hugely anticipated, and that's for iPhone and iPad. And this gives us the ability to have our instant messaging and presence like embedded into the phone as an application.
Right.
And there's also a client available for like Nokia Symbian,
mm-hmm.
But we're not seeing as much of an adoption or demand for those clients right now.
Although, I mean, Symbian's got no love in North America, really. Although I have played with an N9, and it's a gorgeous phone through and through. You mm-hmm. want to see where the Nokia Windows Phone 7s came from? Go look at an N9. But I thought
it was
more popular in Europe.
They definitely are. Like, there's, they came out of Finland, you know, so, they definitely have got a big market stake over here. And, Nokia are really, important in the fact that they're quite strong in the emerging markets, like,
right.
you know, your India and China and, Africa and that, because of these ubiquitous, devices that they can get quite cheaply and things. So I think if Nokia, seize upon that, you know, to develop the Windows Phone 7 experience into that stranglehold they've got already, that would be a good growth point for them.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with the 710, which is like their discount model of the Phone 7. That's one that might actually make it in developing markets. So, exciting stuff. On the iPhone, which version of the phone do you need? Will it work on a 3 or a 3GS, or do you need to go 4?
I think it'll work back to a 3GS.
Okay.
It's more so dependent on the iOS version,
right.
Which... in all the phones I've tested on, it's been iOS 5, so the very latest one. And, I mean, that's the best one, the version of the iOS you want to run it on, because then you get all the great things like notifications when you get new IMs
mm-hmm.
into the iPhone and iPad. So
every version of the Link client has the same set of features? It's not an asymmetrical implementation?
There is like a bit of a feature disparity across the platforms, the mobile platforms. So,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, the sort of like the UX is built to look and feel like the sort of unified UX on that platform, you know. So you've got the Windows Phone 7 Link mobile client looks like, has that Metro UI look about it. You can sort of flick left and right between your information and your contact list and your open chats and that kind of thing. And then as you move into the iOS client on iPhone, it starts to look and feel more like that typical iPhone experience, you know, like lots of little gray buttons and things.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing that makes the iPhone experience really compelling is, and it sets it actually apart from even the Windows Phone client experience, is that you've got your ability to see your calendar from within the Link mobile client. And you can actually open up a Link meeting that you have and then click on join that meeting from within the meeting invitation. And then what Link will do is call you back and bring you into the audio conference in that sense. And then the second point that's really cool on the iPhone app is you can actually see a visual voicemail from within Exchange UM directly in the in the iPhone client. So that sort of sets it apart a little bit from the other platforms.
Although there's a conflict of interest there too, because it sounds like now you have two different inboxes. You've got what comes in through Link and what comes in through your regular mail client.
Yeah, well, like it's the whole story is around that, you know, all your email and your voicemail sits in your Exchange mailbox,
right.
And Link is really there for that real-time collaboration, dynamic stuff around instant messages. So, you know, if you and I send an IM to each other, it's just like a real, like, flitter away sort of, I just need some information really quick. I'm not really concerned on where that's stored or anything, particularly unless I've got some regulatory or compliance requirements around it.
And I'm just going to get a toast pop anyway and be able to click on it and respond.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's sort of presented across your devices now as well. So if you send me an IM, I see a notification on my iPhone, I see a notification on my PC, on my MacBook, this kind of thing, and I've got the opportunity to respond to that on any device that I've got my hands on at that point in time.
Right. And is this all dependent on Wi-Fi connectivity, or will 3G work? How much data do you need here?
It's quite robust, you know, like I've got the Link mobile client to sign in just on edge connectivity. And I mean, granted, it can be a little flaky and my IMs don't always send, but on standard 3G, I can get IM and presence working just fine.
That's good. And I'm with you on the edge side. As a guy who travels a lot, you know, edge is really more of a 2G technology, and the fact that, you know, sometimes that's all you get, depending on your phone, depending on the carrier you're in, wherever you may be. So at least if it can, I don't think I'd try and initiate a voice call that way, but if I can at least get the IM, I can live with that.
Yeah. I mean, we still have GPRS here as well. I'm not sure if you guys have that in North America, but that's like,
yeah. Yeah, we try and block it out. It does exist, but most people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is interesting that, you know, we get that same point of presence. How do you deal with coming back to the office with your mobile device?
So with your mobile device and coming back into the office, typically the way that we recommend deploying like the mobile scenario into our customers is that you make the service available regardless of what network your mobile clients roam onto.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're on the public internet through the 3G connection, the DNS records required for that connectivity are the same once they come into the office and onto either their private Wi-Fi or something like that, you know. So when they come in and they roam out of the network, they might sign out and sign back in momentarily, but the same experience is presented.
And at least in IM, because it's intermittent enough, the fact that you're hopping networks just doesn't mean anything. What about if you're actually on a call?
Yeah, so the call stuff is a really contentious point with Link Mobile today, in that the audio component isn't carried over the Wi-Fi or 3G network.
Okay.
It's actually done via a call via work feature, in that if I look through my Link contact list and I want to make a call to, say, my manager,
mm-hmm.
I click on call on my phone, and then I get a little dialog box that says answer the next incoming call to connect you to your manager. And then what that does is the actual Link environment makes an outbound call to my my mobile number, and then also a call to my manager at the same time. So it makes two calls, and then when I answer the call on my mobile that's gone over the cellular network, it bridges those two calls together for me.
Right. Okay. And so you're counting on your PSTN gateway or your PBX to actually do the dialing out from the home office to complete the calls.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, at least that centralizes the long-distance bill.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps costs down, and it guarantees, or at least ensures to a high degree, that it's going to be a decent quality call, because it's going over the cellular network, and, you know, there's towers all around the city or whatever for that, you know. But if we start to try and put voice over 3G connections, you know, that's still quite flaky, and the quality of networks, you know, worldwide can't be guaranteed. So,
right.
You know, the decision was made to not provide that voice over a data connection just yet.
Well, and the carriers hate that. So there's a whole other battle that's going to happen. They don't want us switching to VoIP. They want us on the cell network.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting problem that we could see is just coming straight at it. And, you know, we're not going to be able to get out of this conversation without talking a little bit about Skype, because Skype is an interesting problem for Microsoft now.
Yeah, there's been this sort of, ever since the acquisition took place, there's been this ongoing conversation where people are like, well, when are we going to see like some integration here? When are we going to see some features being shared between Skype and Link? And I think, yeah, there's definitely going to be an interesting story out start to come to fruition in the next few months. Spark is still really that consumer product, you know, whereas Link is like the enterprise grade IAM presence, like voice product, you know, that's the sort of thing you give to your CEO and it works every single time, you know. Like the thing with Skype is that people have been using it in their homes to contact their families and things overseas, and they'll accept a little bit of poor quality here and there. And if a call drops out, they're fine with that because it's free, you know.
Right.
But if people purchase Link, and they might drop hundreds of thousands of dollars onto an enterprise deployment, and, you know, they want that to work every single time. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's not going to be tolerated otherwise. And thinking about in terms of sort of the enterprise deployment model of this, is there certain pieces you've got to buy to let the mobile component work? I mean, it seems apparent to me you need a PSTN gateway for sure.
Yeah, well, like the mobility component for Link leverages a lot of the standard stuff that you would deploy in a Link environment anyway. So you have your sort of core front-end pool that you have for your Link environment, and then you'd also have a reverse proxy running something like Threat Management Gateway, which would be publishing the IIS component of Link. And that's really the main communication medium for the mobility client, because all of the signaling is carried over a secure HTTPS link.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, yeah, you need that PSTN gateway there for connectivity to the call via work feature. And there's a final piece of the puzzle that requires the edge server there, which gives you that push notification on Windows Phone and Apple iPhone as well.
All right. Yeah, I mean, and you just need that outbound piece. This section of Run As Radio is sponsored by Secret Server, the password management software for IT admins. Secret Server helps you manage local admin passwords and service accounts the right way. Get your free 30-day trial for Secret Server at runasradio.com/secret-server. I'm going to paint another scenario. I'm at a Starbucks working remotely. I've got my laptop and my cell phone. I'm on the Starbucks Wi-Fi. You know, how should I be taking a call? Wouldn't I just take the call through the laptop with my headset, or is it better to use the phone?
Yes, I mean, there's been some functionality built into the client that when you first fire it up for the very first time, the Link mobile client asks you to put in your mobile number to configure simultaneous ring.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is if I get a call onto my Link endpoint, it's running on my PC, it'll actually simultaneously ring my mobile at the same time.
Now, how simultaneous is it?
It's bang on, like straight away. So I'll see a little pop-up toast on my PC that says I've got an incoming call, and at the exact same time, I'll see that call come into the mobile, and I can then choose which one to answer on, depending on what the network condition's like or what the environment around me is like. And so it's really quite flexible.
Yeah, so I got to think in theory that call into the laptop would come first, because the call to the phone has to go out through into the cell network and back to your phone. So there might be a little bit of latency there.
There is a bit, yeah. It's sort of like one of those things where you see the call come in on your desktop and then also on your phone. You go, you know, which one do I want to answer it on? And then sort of have to make a judgment call.
Yeah.
Second. Yeah.
How good is my Wi-Fi? Because for better or worse, you know the cell call is probably going to work.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, depending on where you are, if you're down in a bunker, maybe it won't and the Wi-Fi is actually better. But it's nice to have the choice. And the fact that it just works together like that is pretty compelling. I think I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely put the piece in the puzzle.
I actually look at my IM logs a lot. I don't know if I'm the only one, but, you know, often I prefer to have an important conversation in IM because I do have a good record of it and go back and we agreed on certain things, or that link you sent me is there, all of that sort of stuff. Is there a solution in terms of if I take the IM on the mobile client versus take it on my laptop client versus take it on my desktop client? Is it actually only one library or one catalog of record?
Yeah, so the way it works is if you take the IM on your desktop PC, it's going to save that IM to the conversation history folder in Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the mobile client, what it will do is it's actually like a chat tab on the mobile client where it will nest down all of your previous IMs there for you. So the default behavior is to store your IM history on both endpoints. And so it's not like a unified archive as such, but at least, you know, you've still got them there to refer to.
But you do have to go search. You got to look at each device to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I know personally, having used the mobile client for like the last month or so, I keep sort of a mental note if I've had some IM conversations on my mobile client, because mm-hmm. it's generally a little bit frustrating to send some IMs on mobile.
Yes.
So If I have to refer back to a conversation, say like, with somebody in our sales team or something, I'll go, I know we spoke about that, when I was using my iPhone. And so like, I'll just instinctively go there and have a bit of a quick look around to find a conversation.
Yeah, the other challenge they're going to have, at least as a WinPhone 7 user, since Mango, I've gotten very used to being able to do texting via voice.
And
you know, that just because I have teenage daughters, so my Bluetooth in my car works with it. And so the fact that I can drive along and my car just goes bleep, you have a text message from your daughter. Shall I read it to you? Yep, read it to me. I respond back with my voice. Never touch my phone. Like, is Link going to have that same feature set? Like, I'm just feeling like we're extending feature sets in different areas and not unifying the UI for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting conversation. I mean, like, there's always going to be these innovations in different parts of Microsoft products, you know, like
sure.
with the WinPhone 7 stuff where they make these leaps around the IM stuff, and then something from Link comes in that is a bit of an overlap with the messaging component there. And so there's still sort of with the development cycles, you know, there's never going to be this complete unification between it all.
Well, and you know, we're all using the same keyboard on the phone, no matter what the app is. We ought to be using the same voice interface too.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like in an ideal world, yeah, those kind of solutions will be carried across like the whole platform, you know, and you'll be able to use your sort of voice recognition stuff on Link and these kind of things. And yeah, but maybe in the next wave, that kind of thing will come through.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, thinking beyond the basics here of IM and voice call, and I do appreciate the integration with my meetings so that I can just click and I go straight into the IM client, but there's a bunch of other features. I'm obviously in the larger Link client on the desktop, I have desktop sharing, that whole digital whiteboard thing. But I also think about the angle when I'm on the road of being able to take a photo and easily include that as part of a conversation. Is there much work in that area?
In terms of the mobile stuff, it's generally providing the IM and presence experience, the call by work stuff, and the meeting join experience as a sort of first iteration of the mobile client.
Mm-hmm.
And, there may be further developments down the road in terms of completing that feature piece. So it's more on par with the desktop experience today. But it's all down to what the endpoint is capable of, what the network is capable of supporting, what the enterprise actually wants to support as well. You know, so.
Well, and I'm starting to think about differentiating features in mobile. There's things you should be able to do in mobile that don't make sense at a desktop. You know, you could imagine a meeting with, three people around are at their desks and one guy's in the field helping collect data and discuss it and just making that a trivial thing to do.
Yeah, well, there's actually one cool thing on the iPhone client that allows you to send your current location in an IM.
Mm-hmm.
And what that'll do is if I'm on my iPhone, I can hit up a little context menu, hit send my location, and then it will actually send a snapshot of a Bing map in the IM to the recipient, and then a link to that as well, and actually like an approximation of the street address.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool. You know, if I was on site somewhere and, I had a friend or something that was trying to find where I was, I can just go bang, send location, and makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. And I'm thinking the step past that is like the insurance adjuster working back at the office with a couple of agents in the site, evaluating damage and being able to share that information in real time. That, you know, now you get into the idea of should this be a custom app just for that purpose versus what should a generalized communication client do for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely, like, the next step in terms of innovation that we want to see is being able to, like, turn on the video cam on a mobile device mm-hmm. and then stream that straight into a Link video conference, you know? So if I'm out somewhere and being able to see, like, live capture of a situation or, like, something that's happening in the field, being able to bring that up straight away and stream it straight back into people in the office would be, super powerful.
Yeah, just adding to the overall experience, being able to gather that data, you know, keep residuals of the meetings, that's very compelling. And in other conversations, we've talked about how this might integrate with internal applications as well, that there is some integration points between Link and other software.
Yeah, definitely. But like, we're seeing loads of third-party app developers seizing this kind of thing, which is something we've been doing in Modality with our dev team, mm-hmm. is finding out where the gaps are and then developing custom apps around that, you know. So if we see that there's like a shortcoming between CRM, you know, we've built like an app that It displays phone numbers out of CRM into the Link client for you, so you can do click-to-call, which isn't some native functionality. And it's definitely that's where that partner ecosystem really comes into its own.
Yeah. Has Link done much in the way of video calling the way that, say, FaceTime or even Skype has got?
Today, there's no Link video calling story on mobile, no.
Right. But I guess that, you know, that's got to come too. I'm not a big fan of it myself, but if, it seems like I'm the only one who's like, why do you want to see me? Or why do I want to see you?
Yeah, it's just one of these things that, like, people expect the features to be there, even though they may not be, you know, utilized by a great deal of the user set. You know, it's just like, especially, it's sort of like a subset of people crying out for this functionality that's like really hard to deliver, but then, are you actually going to see the bulk of your information worker sort of user base use this stuff that somebody's like slaved over to develop into the application?
Yeah.
So it's kind of.
Well, it feels like one of those features that everybody wants on the checklist and then they'll use it once or twice and then they'll never use it again.
Exactly, you know, right.
Because it'll take an audio call that works reliably and make it a video call that works unreliably.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, like, you know, tons of IT pros are calling out for this. We're like, why is there no audio or video over Wi-Fi? This is ridiculous. And mm-hmm. then people thought, well, hang on a second. Like, who's going to be using the mobile client and users, you know? And they're not going to be able to necessarily make an informed decision based on the network conditions. So let's make it a more easy experience and completely pull that dependency out. And then, you know, they're the guys who are going to be using it every day. And so you make that, you know, every single time work perfectly. And then, you know, it hits the buttons in the end. So.
Yeah, the network's not quite there yet, and you know, looking at some of the latest evolutions of the cellular network, you know, they're getting faster and faster with their data, which makes you wonder why they're still bothering with a voice channel, except that that's a differentiating feature. Like, we're definitely trapped by the folks who own the networks and limited by what we can do there.
I mean, even like there's some, you know, I know you guys are getting a lot of 4G and like LTE developments going on over there in North America. And there was some guys sort of like chanting on about them, like, oh, I can support a video call over LTE or 4G, like, you know, perfectly fine. And it's like, well, you know, that's maybe where you are, but, you know, like certain parts of Europe and, you know, Australia and things like that, you know, you barely get 3G coverage. So it's just sort of, you've got to design an application for every single use case.
Yeah, and be able to tolerate the varying conditions that you're going to get depending on where you are and what level of connectivity you have.
Exactly right, yeah.
So, Justin, have we missed anything here in terms of components around running a mobile side of Link?
No, I think we've really covered like a lot of the important parts of the new mobile client and what it does do, what it doesn't do, and that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so those are the fundamentals. Now we just got to let those clients evolve further. And that the apps themselves are distributed through the normal channels. It's on the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and the Windows Phone 7 App Store.
Yeah, I mean, they're on all the like app stores and marketplaces out there. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that's really important to remember is that these mobile clients won't work unless you've done the back-end infrastructure changes.
Right.
So, we've seen tons of people in the app stores get on there and give like these applications like a 1-star rating and say, it doesn't work. And
yeah,
it's because they haven't even asked their IT guys if they've set up Link to actually support these mobile clients yet. So right. It's important that those prerequisites are in place.
The mobile client comes last. Right.
Comes last.
There is a whole bunch of stuff you've got to do first before the mobile client can come along.
Oh, that's it. You know, there's like a 4 or 5 step process there that you've got to run through before you can even fire up that mobile client and test it to sign in.
Yeah, until the desktop workstations are working and the laptops are working and all that other stuff is already done, you don't have to worry about your mobile client at all.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that's really like a proof of concept functionality phase at the moment. We're seeing a lot of companies just test the waters with it and then make a decision as to whether it's going to be appropriate for their company or not.
Well, it does strike me that it's still early days for us deciding, you know, how much does this add to us that we didn't already have with existing IM clients, with stuff like WhatsApp, with existing cell clients. Like, I'm just hoping we're going to be enough value add to have that make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about extending like the presence and identity experience on the smartphones. And so I can just fire up the Link app and I'm signed in there and I can see all my contact list. And, you know, if there's experience, like I've had stuff where I've been deploying like a voice gateway into a data center and all I've had on me was my iPhone and I needed to quickly shoot off an IM for some configuration details. And so having my enterprise contact list there, as well as like my merged local phone contact list as well,
right,
is super powerful because it just brings that whole enterprise control experience onto the endpoint.
You really have extended that enterprise out to that phone so that all those resources are available to you.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for coming on Run As and filling us in.
No worries, Richard. Happy to be here.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.